From one islander to another, Isle of Wight Radio proudly presents John Hannam Meets.
Delighted to welcome to John Hannam Meets Vicky Binns.
Hello.
Delighted to meet you.
Thank you.
Of course, millions also know you as Ollie Reynolds and Molly Dobbs, but more about that perhaps in a few minutes.
Right, okay.
The reason I'm here is that you're at the Nuffield Campus Theatre, 11th to the 16th of February, with, of course, your current play, Abigail's Party.
Yes, cheesy pineapple one, gin and tonic. Yep.
And you're obviously enjoying it.
Oh, we're having great. We've done a week thus far.
Yes.
And we had lots of fun last night because we had our sort of press night last night. So we had drinks afterwards and all that kind of thing. So there was a real sort of energy, let's say, in the show last night and in afterwards. And it's without a doubt the funniest rehearsal process I've ever had. I mean, I've been lucky enough to do some real comedies. And though this is a comedy, it's more of a black comedy and it's quite dark and there's a lot of tension. But I think that's the reason why we've had so much fun. You know, that sort of nervous laughter where you shouldn't be laughing and we're sort of playing on two levels because we're working with all the social politeness and what you're saying is not actually what you're meaning and all that kind of thing. So, yeah, we've been having real good fun. I mean, we've had a couple of days where we've just not been able to get through the scene and the director's had to say, right, just do it through the laughter and we'll move on and we'll revisit this tomorrow. And obviously the more that you think you're in trouble, then the more you want to laugh, don't you? And Jodie is just so much fun, who's playing the lead. She's
yes.
So charismatic and, you know, comedic.
This is also going out on a national podcast, so I'm going to plug at the end, after I've talked to you, I'm going to plug the other gigs that follow on from Southampton.
Okay.
So, born in Manchester?
Yes. North Manchester in Bury.
City or United or a bit of both, is it?
Disappointingly, neither.
Like, oh, right.
As on the fence as you could possibly get.
You're some older,
yeah,
do you?
Yeah, well, I've just... Football's not my not my sport, to be honest. If you ask me about gymnastics, then maybe. But no, I did go and see a Manchester City game once when I was about 17. So I guess I'd have to ally with City.
Vicky, why did you choose acting? Was it always something you wanted to do?
Well, I went to a drama club when I was about 13 just with a friend because she didn't want to go on her own. And I literally just went along for the ride and kind of understood it straight away. And I adored doing it, but I never thought of it as any sort of future or career or anything like that. It was just, and the same at school as well. As I found other subjects difficult, drama was the one that was just, I mean, that lesson just flew by. It could have been 2 minutes, you know, the drama lesson, whereas math seemed to be about 5 years
yes.
of your life every time you did a math session. So there was something that I kind of instinctively loved straight away. But it was just, I was at this drama club, and it was a backstreet drama club. It wasn't stage schooly at all. And they came round from Granada Television looking for people to do a children's programme. And just got this job in this kids' programme. So it was literally just from my parents. I'd had nothing to do with acting, nothing to do with drama. They hadn't necessarily pushed me in that direction. Though they were supportive, it just was out of the blue that I got this part in this kids' programme, which we filmed over the summer. And it was so innocent because it was all kids that were in it. It was like a hospital drama.
Was it Children's Ward?
It was Children's Ward, yeah. It's like the equivalent of Casualty, the sort of Children's Ward version of Casualty. And we filmed it with lots of young people, and I did that over 2 years in it each summer. But again, it was just something that was like, it was really good fun. I was doing it, but I never particularly thought that I would be able to pursue it and do what I was, what you know, were, when I was older.
You were Tash in that, weren't you? Was it?
Yeah. Now don't tell me you remember that. You must be reading that from somewhere.
So did you have sort of acting idols or heroes when you were younger or not really?
Not really. You know, I never had posters of anybody on my wall. And I sort of came from acting like from the, because I was so young, I was only 13. So I kind of met people as I went along. And then I did a drama, a BBC drama, when I was only 16, which was just past the time where you get a chaperone. So although I was 16, I probably wasn't quite mature enough or old enough to be without a chaperone, and yet I wasn't. And Joe Wright directed it, who's now...
Was that Nature Boy, was it?
Yeah, Nature Boy, so I've gone on to direct amazing things. And I cried, I sobbed all the way down on the train, because I'd never really been very far, and I'd certainly never been anywhere without my parents or doing a sort of job like this. I met all these actors, who was, you know, like Mark Benton, Lee Ingleby, Leslie Sharp. So I was sort of on set with them, and they then became people that I would admire, but kind of through meeting them and being stood there doing it and feeling wildly out of my depth and yet really supported by Joe and all that cast. So and then similarly, when I came back from Nature Boy and got this job in Emmerdale, and then after that in Coronation Street, and I kind of never quite let myself watch it or I was just so scared about being starstruck that I tried to sort of not have idols in that way. Because I think if someone is on such a pedestal for you, you then can't speak, can you? You get rendered numb, don't you, when you meet people like that?
Yeah. In Ollie Reynolds, when you played in Emmerdale, you were sort of a bit of a tomboy to start with, weren't you?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we were like the first young people, really, on Emmerdale. In terms of doing those teenage tearaway storylines and all that kind of thing, they wanted to get a younger audience, and so they brought some young people in, basically, so that obviously the audience could relate to them. So I did all the kind of like tearaway, smoking, getting drunk, snogging older boys, all that kind of, but I was 17 at the time, 17, 18 by then, but I was playing a 13-year-old, which obviously when you're 18 was just, oh my God. Because I wasn't allowed to wear any makeup and I had to be wearing a school uniform and doing all that sort of stuff.
It was Zach and Kane you got involved with, didn't you?
I have
dreaded Dingle family, yeah?
Best memories of working with, particularly those two actually, yes. Steve Halliwell. He's from where I'm from, like from Bury, and he is just the most grounding, warm people that you could work with, and that makes such a difference in a job. The people that are the leads, as it were, in those jobs, if they're good fun and down to earth, then there's no excuse for anybody else not to be. Do you know what I mean? They kind of lead the way. So it was really lucky with the Dingles, because they were great fun to work with.
You had some great storylines, didn't you?
Yeah,
I think you ran away from home at one time, didn't you?
I was so lucky with it all. You know, but as you're talking to me now, it feels like you're talking to me about a different life and a different person. It just feels such a long time ago, and I was a completely different person then, because I was a teenager as well. So when I think back to it, a lot of it kind of makes me cringe as well, because I think, oh God, I was so teenagery and defensive and out of my depth and, you know, all those things.
There was a hit and run, wasn't there? Was it?
Yeah, that was a big storyline.
Head teacher, wasn't it?
Yeah. And that was getting to see how that all works with the set and props and stuntmen. That's right, we ran over the head teacher, didn't we?
Yeah.
And we thought it was a badger. I always remember that. It was always really hard for us to not laugh in hysterics.
And then your mum got killed in a car crash in the storyline, didn't she?
Yeah, Freya Copeland, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Steve McGann played my dad as well.
Wow.
I've worked with him. He directed an episode of Moving On.
I love Moving On.
Yeah, it's fab, isn't it? Yeah. Isn't it a brilliant programme? Yeah. And so he directed it not that long ago.
So in 2003, you left to go and live in Manchester and go to Manchester Uni. In theory, that's where you still
that's
are, isn't
where
it?
I am, yeah. But I don't think I've got any living relatives still back on Emmerdale now. I don't think there's anyone that I was related to is still there.
But that was good experience for you, wasn't it? Going on to a really big soap, really.
Amazing, yeah. That's what you can't, you know, buy that kind of experience of being on the set every day and learning the lines and just seeing how it all works in terms of the filming and the crew and the setup.
You only did Van Trapped, which was a TV movie, wasn't it? And then all of a sudden you were in Corrie.
Yeah, well, Von Trapp was written by Jonathan Harvey, who writes a lot for Coronation Street and lots of other... He's an amazing writer, very, very funny. So he wrote Von Trapped, and the producer from Coronation Street had watched Von Trapped. So that's how that link kind of like segued into Coronation Street. Because I left Emmerdale really wanting to just pursue something else, because I'd been there for 5 years and I'd been there since I was so young. And I felt really envious of actors that had done lots of theatre and trained and been to drama school and, you know, done all those things. And I was just young and hungry to learn more and to get out there and see what else I could do. So I left never thinking that I would do another soap. Not because I didn't want to, just because that doesn't stop. A very usual thing to happen. And then this offer came to do Coronation Street, and it was literally to do, I think it was a 3 month at the most contract, maybe 2 month
really?
Contract to play Fizzy's friend.
Yeah.
And I was a good friend of Jenny McAlpine, who plays Fizz anyway. And then this Von Trapp had happened. And so it was like a comedy character and a bit of a comedy storyline to play against Fizz for the 3 months, and that turned into 5 years. Yeah. So that was
you did about 500 appearances roundabout,
right? Yeah, I have no idea.
Yeah,
I don't know. I'm not very good with dates and times, but yeah, I know it was 5 years. That
and of course Tyrone Dobbs, who you, I think you married in the end, didn't you?
Yeah,
he was involved in lots of big storylines.
Who wouldn't marry Tyrone Dobbs? He wouldn't say yes to that gorgeous gorgeous man. He was brilliant to work with, Alan. Yeah, and so that, I think that's how it developed, really, is just that my character coming in and then working with Alan, and we got on so well, and they developed the storyline from there.
Because you took a fancy to a car mechanic as well, didn't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, that didn't end well, though. That's never a good idea, is it? That was never going to end well from that first kiss, the first moment. That was difficult, actually, playing that storyline out, because that character, Tara, is so loved. Of course, you. I was sort of immediately the villain in that respect. If you're gonna, you can't wrong Tyrone and get away with that.
And there was all the hoo-ha, who was the father and all that, wasn't it?
Yeah, brilliant. I mean, they do that so well, don't they?
Coronation
Street.
They
build those stories so brilliantly, so that you know you're all on the edge of your seat as to find out who it was.
You were in a car crash in that as well, weren't you? In a car crash in that one. Do you
remember? We did a couple of those. I've been on a lot of low loaders in my time, which is where they put the car on a big truck and drive around, and that's how they film it. So they attach the cameras to the truck, and then they put the car on the truck, and you pretend to drive, because obviously it'd be a bit dangerous to be. Film it to be actually driving.
Yeah.
So that's been a lot of low loaders.
And there was talk of an attempted murder, but it wasn't anything like that in the end, was it? Your car accident.
Oh, that's right.
Do you remember?
Yeah. You're better at this than me. Mind you, you've had chance to do your research.
Yeah, exactly.
Abigail's Party World.
Yes.
Yeah, but I mean, it's with Coronation Street as well. You just get the scripts.
Yeah.
You just get the scripts, and you're. Obviously the sort of last person in the chain. So they develop these stories over about a year. So they create big story arcs that go over the year, and then do sort of smaller storylines, condense it all down until they hand each writer an episode. And so a different writer writes an episode each. And then you get sent 5 episodes in the post and you read them, and there is what you're doing that next week. So... yeah, it's a strange experience to kind of be reading those stories as an audience member, really, at first, when you're reading the scripts.
I suppose you had to read you were going to be killed in a tram crash, wasn't it?
Well, now that one they did let me know in advance.
Yeah, they did, yeah.
That would have been a bit cruel, wouldn't it, to just be handed that script. That was through the 50th. So
was that a live show or not?
Yes, it was. Gosh. It was, my friend.
Was that sort of seat of pants, was it, or what, you know?
Yeah, well... I think I went into some sort of denial when I did it, because when I think back now, it seems a lot more terrifying than I think I let myself believe that it was, because the producers came down. I already knew that I was going to be leaving in the 50th, and I had a really lovely chat with the producer who said, you know, if you're going to leave, this is the time to do it. We've got this great storyline that, you know, that will culminate in you leaving on the live 50th episode, which is fantastic. And amazing to be part, because obviously I hadn't done the 50 years. Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
So to be there on the 50th year and drink the champagne and go to the big party and do the celebration and be part of that 50th, I felt a little bit of a charlatan, to be honest, because I'd only put my 5 years in. But yeah, the producer came down and told the whole cast that the episodes were going to be live, which is an unbelievable feat. It's massive. I think if you've ever been on a TV set, it doesn't look... like you imagine, in terms of the interior sets are all in a big studio and then the exterior is outside. So people quite often visited sets, haven't they? So when you go on the street, when you walk in to the door, It's just a shack behind there. There's nothing behind there.
Because I went to the old set.
Yeah, you'll have seen it.
And you go in and there's the shop and the pub and all in this one big place, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, all in the interior studio.
Yeah, yeah.
So that was quite terrifying to do the live because obviously your character would potentially be walking down the street, go, all right, well, I'll see you in a minute. They'd open the door and then there'd be a runner on the other side of the door who would then leg you, run with someone round, go to the studio and be ready in that next set for when the camera comes back on.
Wow.
So that was the kind of terrifying bit. It was like, don't trip or get lost on your way to do the next scene that would is in a different place. But we did do a lot of rehearsals. We did about, I think it was 2 weeks or maybe a yeah. week and a half of just rehearsing it. And then, yeah, then it was just go for it.
I went up and did some interviews on the street and I particularly took to Bill Tummy and Liz Dawn. I know you did quite a bit of acting with them.
Yeah.
They were fantastic, weren't they?
Well, they were my era of Coronation Street, of growing up, of it being on in the background when I was young, being something that my mum watched. It was just always there, wasn't it? It was like a comforting, you know, the theme tune, that comforting, oh, it's that time. And it was right around when Jack and Vera were doing a lot of their big storylines and... also Liz McDonald and Jim McDonald. That yes. was kind of like where I remember Coronation Street. So that was very surreal to
and massive viewing go in and figures work with too, them.
Yeah, of course, because there was no, that was everybody was watching the same thing at the same time, weren't they?
Yeah.
I mean, it's different now with telly, isn't it? We don't kind of consume telly in the same way. But yeah, to work with them was unbelievable to be sat there. And as you know, because you've met them, they were incredibly warm and friendly
wonderful.
And great fun. Yeah.
And you can't go back, can you? Because you're
no,
dead.
I remember the press officer saying that to me at the time, actually, when this storyline had come. She said, you'd be really glad because otherwise you'll just be asked forever and ever about whether you're going back. Whereas this is like, you know, sometimes people do ask me if they've not followed it religiously and say, are you going to go back? And I just go, you know, the finger across the neck, unless it's a dream.
You did The Mill. I love The Mill. That was.
Did you?
Yeah.
That was a cold job.
Yeah, I bet. Gosh.
That was like, I remember getting the first script of that and it said the camera pans in on a pile of rags on a bleak moor in the rain. And then the pile of rags starts to rustle and move and we reveal it's Martha. And that was my character. It was like, oh, I'm like emerging from a pile of rags. It was brilliant because it was kind of like a really dark, like almost like the antithesis to Downton Abbey in that way. Love that programme too, but it's kind of like a very gritty version, a much grittier, harder version of that. So it was incredible to film and to be there and in the mill and be working in that period, but it was cold.
I bet.
And there was two series of that, wasn't there?
Yes, there was. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Doctors, you've done more recently, haven't you? You've done Doctors.
Yes, Doctors. Everybody loves in Doctors. You go up to Birmingham and there's such a nice crew up there. And I've done quite a lot of theatre in between the mill, so it was nice to go and do Doctors and be reminded of telly again. You know, go back to telly.
Because you did a lot with the Hull Trucking Company, didn't you?
Yeah, when I first started, I did quite a bit with Hull Truck. Yeah, with John Godber.
Yeah.
Yeah, I did a John Godber play when I was at school. And then I did the same play with John Godber, so that was really incredible as well, I think. And my drama teacher, who encouraged me and was wonderful, came to see it.
Vicky, what's your dream now then? What if you could leave this Brighton Theatre Royal now and do something in the future, what would you like to do?
Oh, I find that question so difficult, you know, because it's like hard to dare to dream. But I guess the stuff that I love at the moment there's some fantastic things on the BBC iPlayer, isn't there? I love all those kind of comedy series that go on Motherland and all those jobs. So I'd love to do some comedy on TV. And I really enjoy doing theatre because the massive difference for me in theatre is that you're a team and you're working together as a group. You're kind of a small group and you see something through from beginning to end. You start the rehearsals together and then indeed you start the beginning of the play together and, you know, finish the play together. So you become a real sort of strong team, whereas telly's much more sporadic. You kind of go in, film your scenes, go home, and then when it's on, you're not all receiving that reception together. So I'd love to do some more theatre as well.
So Abigail's Party, which comes to the Nuffield from the 11th to the 16th of Feb. It's a sort of a must-see show. Great fun, isn't it? Really?
It's great fun. The audiences, we've been sort of in a dark room for 3 weeks rehearsing it with, you know, the director and the assistant director who've seen it 300 times. So they are generous and give us little giggles, but we would definitely not expecting the reaction that we got from the audience, from, you know, the laughter, because we play it truthfully and very, very straight, and that they are real characters for us, and they're living this evening and they're living the truth of all the characters. And that's what Sarah's really brought to this production. We're not playing it for laughs, we're playing it for being real people living in that scenario. But then it, just because of the writing and the quality of it and the fact that people recognise so much of it, I mean, you just know what it's like to be in those rooms, to be in those social class systems, everything that it is to be English that you don't even know until you see it on stage and go, yes, that's what it's like. Yes, that's what it's like. And Sarah's really brought out all the nuances of the piece. And Mike Lee came to see it on Friday, which was terrifying.
Yeah, I bet.
I mean, just to know that he was in the audience and you were saying his lines potentially in the wrong order, you know, it was just like, please say the lines in the right order type film. But he was really supportive, and he's a good friend of Sarah, and so he's been supportive of the production and he was happy with it. So that was a massive sigh of relief for us all.
Vicky, thanks for your time.
Thank you.
I know it's two shows today and you've got a matinee in about an hour's time.
Yes.
And I'm coming to see that. Looking forward to it.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
And I wish your career continued success.
Oh, thank you very much.
Great pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
You too.
John Hannam, Can't Cook, Won't Cook, but what a sexy voice.
Thanks to Vicky Binns. And by the way, I love the show, and so did the audience. It was a great afternoon's entertainment. I did promise some more dates for Abigail's Party. After the Southampton Nuffield Campus Theatre, it goes to the Regentstoke, the New Victoria Woking, the Royal in Durngate, Northampton, the Grand Blackpool, Waterside Aylesbury, Everyman and Playhouse Liverpool, the Orchard Dartford, the Opera House Manchester and the King's Edinburgh. You've been listening to John Hannah Meets, courtesy of Isle of Wight Radio. Don't forget to look at my website, johnhannam.com, for news of more interviews and how you might purchase my books. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye for now.